Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Granth Raj, Shima Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Janitai Gopremanandi.
Okay. So, sorry we missed last week. Last Monday, I had a surgery to look at class, and I was sick on Tuesday, so I'm sorry I couldn't come. We're going to have class tonight and tomorrow. Next week we'll have a week off because I'll be away for a week. So no class next week. So tonight, tomorrow night, and then we'll resume in 2 weeks from now. So we'll continue with the pastimes of the Lord Ramachandra in chapter 10. I'll give you the key memory verses for this next section. So you can write them down and we'll put them on the... What do we do?
And,
like an email to it. Okay, so thanks to Jagannath Ram Prabhu for assisting us in finding these verses. Thank you. So, Canto 9, chapter 4, verse 63. Canto 9, chapter 4, verse 65. And Canto 9, chapter 4, verse 70. So 63, 65, and 70. That's for the next section. Just remind me at the end of the class, I also have the open book exams for the next section. They're ready? The open book topics for the next section are ready, so I'll give them to you at the end of the class. Just remind me. But tonight we'll continue with the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. Canto 9, chapter 10. Tonight we'll go from verses 12 to 23. And tomorrow night we'll probably finish the chapter. Verse 12. Lord Ramachandra, whose lotus feet are worshipped by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, had assumed the form of a human being. Thus he performed the funeral ceremony of Jatayu, who was killed by Ravana. The Lord... This is chapter 10. Yeah, chapter 10. Verse number 12. The Lord... Thus he performed the funeral ceremony of Jatayu, who was killed by Ravana. The Lord then killed the demon named Kabanda. And after making friends with the monkey chiefs, killing Bali, and arranging for the deliverance of Mother Sita, he went to the beach of the ocean.
When Ravana did not see that, he was obstructed on the way by Jatayu, a large bird. But the powerful Ravana defeated Jatayu in the fight and cut his wing. When Ramachandra was searching for Sita, he found Jatayu almost dead and was informed that Sita has been carried off by Ravana. When Jatayu died, Lord Ramachandra did the duty of his son by performing the funeral ceremony, and then he made friends with the monkeys to deliver Sita.
Okay. Is there any points here? Lord Ramachandra, what are they showing? We said in the previous class, I think, last time we spoke, that Lord Ramachandra is known as Purna Bhagavan, which means there are many forms of Godhead, and Krishna being the Swayam Bhagavan, or the original form. But it is directly mentioned by Rupa Goswami in Laku Bhagavatamrita that Lord Ramachandra and the Sringadeva are also Purna Bhagavan, which means they show the full potency of God. And Lord Chaitanya and Lord Balaram being direct expansions, Lord Chaitanya being non-different from Krishna himself, and Balaram being the first expansion, and Lord Ram and the Sringadev being fully displaying the potency of God, they are considered to be Purna, or complete, in their display of opulence of Godhead. So Lord Ramachandra, he is known as Mayada Avatar, which means human-like pastime. He shows perfect human conduct. So we see in each of the pastimes, as we go through, because this is a summarization, just a summary of the pastimes. Sukadeva Goswami has already said, Valmiki has said everything in detail. I'll just repeat it in summary. Parikshit knows all the pastimes. Parikshit knows the history of the Ramayana. He's memorized it. So he doesn't need to hear it in detail, but there's just a summary being given. So here we're seeing that in every part of the pastime of the Lord Ram, he's showing his supreme nature and his supreme potency. So what does he do here in this particular verse? Because every single part of Ram's pastime shows some lesson and shows some potency of his supremacy. So what in particular is he achieving in this? So showing his nature as Bhakta Vatsala, as being the protector of his devotee. Jataya is a vulture, huge bird, which they eat the flesh. You see them in India. Are they still there? Can you still see them? The vultures? When I went to Vrindavan, first time around about 25 years ago, you used to see the vultures flying around. But what they've done is, because they use the chemicals on the ground, the vultures are eating the food on the ground, but because the chemicals are in the food, then when the vultures have been laying their eggs, the shell of the egg is no longer hard. It's soft, so then the baby vultures are not surviving. So you'll see in Vrindavan the vultures are becoming extinct because of human interference, too many chemicals in the farmland. I don't know other places in India, but at least in Vrindavan, you don't see them so much anymore. Actually, I don't think I see them anymore. I remember when I first went to Vrindavan, you used to see quite a lot of vultures, but you don't see them anymore. So he was a vulture, and the Lord, because he gave his life for the Lord, in the Lord's service. To protect Sita Devi from Ravana, he attacked Ravana. He was defeated by Ravana, but because he gave his life, then he was blessed by Lord Ramachandra. And Lord Ramachandra being the supreme benefactor of the devotee, Bhakta Vatsala, because the Acharyas have pointed out, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out, and the other Acharyas point out, the greatest quality of the Lord is Bhakta Vatsala. That is supreme amongst all of his qualities, that he always protects his devotee. Vatsa means calf. So he feels like a mother feels towards the calf. So Lord Rama is always feeling inspired to protect these devotees. Just like at our farm, in the next few days, Aruni, one of our cows, she's about to give birth to a calf. So everyone in the farm, we're very excited, because you feel natural affection towards a calf, towards a child. So the Lord feels like that towards his devotee. So that's how Lord Ramachandra is feeling. Even this vulture has attacked Ravana because he's done it with pure devotion, as a service to the Lord, to protect Mother Sita, then the Lord himself performs the funeral rites, which is a great honor. When someone performs your funeral rites, that's a great honor. So because he's done that, there's a great sign of love from the Lord towards his devotee. And what else is there in the verse? Once again, Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually makes a comment that they may or may not have been monkeys, but they may have been from South India. So sometimes when you're in another place, say you're born in North India,
Or in Australia, you're born in Australia, someone's from Melbourne, someone's from Adelaide, someone's from Sydney or Tasmania. Then you may make some jokes about the other place. You say, oh, the people from Tasmania, they're very like this. So it is mentioned, Fakuna Tako mentions that they may not have been monkeys, but Valmiki may have said they're like monkeys. The people down in that part of India, they're like monkeys. But generally we say they're like, they are monkeys. So either way, he had a monkey army. Which means, once again, the Lord is just taking anyone and engaging them in his service. So what is the lesson we're learning from the Bhagavatam? Do not judge someone according to externals. Haridas Thakur explains this in Harinam Chintamani. We should not judge another devotee according to external calculation. You don't see another devotee and say, oh, that devotee is black, or that devotee is white, or that devotee is Indian, or that devotee is Australian, or American, or Russian. But you see the devotee based on their bhakti, or the merit of their devotion. So we respect devotees according to the devotion they have, not according to their material qualification. So Lord Ramachandra, he accepts the Kinnara army, or the army of monkeys, as his dearest devotees. And Hanuman is known as being the emblem of Dasya Bhava, or servitorship towards the Lord. So the Lord will accept anyone in his service according to their devotion or their bhakti. He doesn't discriminate. He doesn't say, oh, because they're monkey, they cannot serve. Because practically all of us, we're coming from fallen backgrounds. And even though we're fallen, the Lord still accepts our service. Engages us. Any other points? What else is there in the verse? Saving his life. And devotee doesn't mind that. To give one's life in the service of the Lord is the greatest honor. So devotee does not mind. He considers that to be a great privilege. Anything else? After reaching the beach, Lord Ramachandra fasted for 3 days, awaiting the arrival of the ocean personified. When the ocean did not come, the Lord exhibited his pastimes of anger, and simply by his glancing over the ocean, all the living entities within it, including the crocodiles and sharks, were agitated by fear. Then the personified ocean fearfully approached Lord Ramachandra, taking all paraphernalia to worship him. Falling at the Lord's lotus feet, the personified ocean spoke as follows. Then it is very difficult to read. I was just testing. Okay, so any points in this verse?
The ocean didn't recognize it, but the God himself. So he didn't see his way.
So this shows that when a devotee is not subordinate to the Lord, or when we are not submissive, we will be chastised. So that is the purpose of chastisement. The Lord just opened his eyebrows or moved his eyebrows in anger, but when as soon as he showed anger, just that glance was enough to strike fear into the heart of the ocean god. And then he came before the Lord with folded hands. So the purpose of chastisement is very beneficial. So why do we get chastised? Because Prabhupada says that if we do not get chastised, we'll see this in the next verse, if we do not get chastised, we do not improve in quality. So chastisement is an important component of spiritual life. And it is actually said that one who is a more advanced devotee, he will only need to be chastised by the guru in order to improve. Neophyte devotees find it difficult to be chastised. When you give some instruction to someone who's not very advanced, they become disheartened. But when you give instruction or correction to someone who is more advanced, they become enthused. Because they think, now I'm being given mercy, I know how to improve in my service. So that is the mood of a devotee. When he's getting chastised, he feels this is mercy. And Prabhupada actually said that himself and his godbrothers preferred the chastisement of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur opposed to the praise. And someone who's more advanced, then they will see more benefit in that. And actually Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that one who chastises me, he is my friend. One who praises me, he is like the enemy. Because there's more benefit in the correction. Any points?
Okay. I look forward when it's really Prabhupada's Gaura Brother. So they were talking, Prabhupada and Gaura Brother talking.
Yeah.
So the Prabhupada said that the holy name will be spread throughout the world as told by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he got up and said, I doubt it. So Srila Prabhupada said, don't you believe in the Shastras? I mean, you have no faith in Shastras. So then he got up and said, I don't know how. So Srila Prabhupada said, some fool will do it. Prabhupada took himself so, though he never told he is going to do it. Maybe he didn't know. He just, the fool is definitely going to do it. So, and the chastisement is very important. You have heard this before?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, similar. O all-pervading Supreme Person, we are dull-minded and did not understand who you are, but now we understand that you are the Supreme Person, the Master of the entire universe, the unchanging and original personality of Godhead. The demigods are infatuated with the mode of goodness, the Prajapatis with the mode of passion, and the Lord of Ghosts with the mode of ignorance, but you are the Master of all these qualities.
A joy for me.
The word Jadadhyaya, the first intelligence like that of an animal. A person with such intelligence cannot understand the difference of man and woman. Without being beaten, an animal cannot understand the purpose of a man. Similarly, those who are dull-minded cannot understand the difference of man and woman. But when punished, severely, then the most of material nature to begin to understand things. The Hindi poet has said, Sukh se sabha bhi bhaje, Sukh se bhaje koi. When one is distressed, he goes to the church or temple to worship the Lord. But when opponent, he forgets the Lord. Therefore, punishment by the Lord to material nature is necessary in human society. But without it, men forget the supremacy of the law due to their blind privilege.
What are the points? So if we don't understand the supremacy of Krishna, then he will humble us, he will chastise us. He makes arrangements in our life that we become humiliated, so that we will surrender unto him. So that is the point or the purpose of the Lord's mercy and his association and his instruction, is that he deals with us in such a way to bring us closer to him. So to bring us closer to him, first he has to dismantle the false ego. So Prabhupada said the process of bhakti means that the false ego becomes, what's the word that Prabhupada uses? Like it melts away, or it dissolved. Yeah, Prabhupada said the false ego becomes dissolved. So gradually the Lord deals with us in such a way that our false ego becomes less. You know, it dissolves, it deteriorates. So Krishna will arrange so that all of us are dealt with in such a way that we'll become purified. So for the non-devotees, then he smashes them. Ultimately, how? By the force of death. So he pushes them down, makes them surrender. Bhagavatam says that if you do not bow your head voluntarily, at the time of death you'll be forced to bow before the Lord. So the Lord deals with everyone in that way. And for the devotee, he deals with them in a very special way. That according to the way they surrender unto him. So if you surrender to Krishna willingly, then Krishna reciprocates. But if you are stubborn, or if you have some material attachments or anartas, then Krishna will chastise you. You will diminish your pride. And he will bring you to a point where you can surrender to him. So the Lord always deals with us in that way, to bring us closer to him. So a devotee, he appreciates when we are being chastised or dealt with in the Lord, by the Lord in such a way that we can come closer to him. A devotee enjoys the Lord's chastisement or the difficulties that the Lord puts us through, because they just bring us closer to him. And Queen Kunti says, let the difficulties come again and again, because we remember you more and more. Any points? False ego, it's part of a false identification. Synonymous, same thing. Same but different. Any other point? Yep. We should be happy all the time. Whether in happiness or distress, we should just rely on Krishna and be engaged in his service. But if you're in difficulty and you're happy, that's good. That's a sign of advancement. Yeah. That's why it's called difficulty. Otherwise, it would be called easy. Okay. My Lord, you may use my water as you like. Indeed, you may cross it and go to the abode of Ravana, who is the great source of disturbance and crying for the three worlds. He is the son of Vishrava, but is condemned like you, Ryan. Please go kill him and thus regain your wife, Sita Devi. O great hero, although my water presents no impediment to your going to Lanka, please construct a bridge over it to spread your transcendental fame. Upon seeing this wonderfully uncommon deed of your lordship, all the great heroes and kings in the future will glorify you. So we'll read the first paragraph. That's a Jagannath Prabhu.
It is said that the sun and moon emanate from the same source. When the sun is a devotee of a great diamond person, the sun is discharged for the breaking of the sun. But if the sun is unqualified and brings no glory to the sun, it is no better than the moon. Here, Rama is compared to the because he was the cause of success, he was. Thus, the ocean was unified.
What are the points in this paragraph? So this is the point. It says in the Shastra that the son, who is not a devotee, then he is just like urine. It means useless. So it means that when you beget children, you must beget children for the right reason, so they can become devotees of Krishna. That's the point. The Bhagavatam has said that if you're a father or a mother, or a demigod or a guru or a teacher, whatever your position is, if you do not lead your dependents to the lotus feet of Krishna, then you're neglecting your duty. So the whole purpose being a guru, which means a mother or a father, is to bring the children to. So if the child is not becoming successful, then it's considered to be like urine. Considered to be a waste. Now one thing you have to remember is that it takes time. And many of the children go off, especially in the teenage years, because they have independence. Now, Chanakya says between the age of 5 and 15, you should be very strict with the child. You have to give a lot of discipline when the child's between 5 and 15. So the child will develop good quality and good character. But before the age of 5, you have to be very soft and loving. And after the age of 15, you have to give independence to the child. You can't push or force the child at the age of 15. And these days, you could actually say it's becoming younger. Because children, the modern age, everything is changing very rapidly. So when a child is a teenager, they need their independence. So the parent has to be very expert at that time, not to be too disciplinary, or not to put too much discipline on the child to make them rebel. But at the same time, they'll do what they want to do. And we've seen many devoted children in the teenage years. They go away from Krishna, but then they always come back. All the children will come back, but they have to come back by their free will. You can't force them. You can't force the children to change up. When they're younger, you can encourage them. But when they get to a certain age, like 15, you can just encourage, but they have to do it by their own free will. Very difficult being a mother or father in this day and age. Therefore, what is the answer? Huh? Not to get married.
Okay.
but whether or not that's foolproof anyway. Yeah, but I agree with the point. You should do Gavadan Sanskara as strictly as you can. But then you see even Srila Prabhupada had a number of children and didn't become devotees. And you look at Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and you even look at Advaita Acharya. So there's many examples. It's not foolproof, that's the point. Of course, it means you should do it. But it's not like, you know, you do Gavadan and then that's it. It's all so, because it didn't happen. Even for Prabhupada, it didn't happen. Prabhupada's children are not pure devotees. The Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if I could guarantee my children would be devotees, I would have hundreds of children. He was a Naistika Brahmachari. He said, if I could guarantee, then I would have many children. So what's the actual answer to all the problems of having children?
That
it is better not to get married and have children, but don't be a, somebody's called a bachelor dying. Yeah, the actual answer is to go back to the spiritual world. In spiritual world, you don't have kids. There's no pregnancy in the spiritual world. So you only have problems when you're in this world. You're guaranteed to have problems. That's the point. If you're a brahmachari, you're going to have problems. Right? Do you have any problems? You do or you don't? Mental problems, yeah. So you have problems, right? A grihastha has problems. And when you become father or mother, you have problems. Guaranteed. And when you get married, you have problems. If you're a husband or wife, you have problems. Guaranteed. If you've got parents, it means you definitely got problems. But the whole solution to all the problems is to go back to the spiritual world. Because you can never be happy in this world. Your kids will never be perfect. It doesn't matter what you do, your kids will never be perfect. So, any points?
You especially want to preach a lot in TV about the incarnation. Who should be incarnated in the world? Very powerful.
Yeah, gods and demigods. Okay, anything else?
Srila Prabhupada said in one lecture that Lord is the sleeping father, but it depends on the mother how the children are born. And I was just thinking, because the Srila Prabhupada was a good man, he said, the mother of Ravan, she was from the demonic family, and that's where all the children were born.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how many kids you have, it's hard to say who will be devoted and who will not be devoted.
Does it depend on the mother?
Yeah, I mean, there's no formula. Now we're in Kali Yuga.
Okay.
Now it's Kali Yuga, so there's no formula.
Okay.
You know, people who are not devotees, they have devoted children. People who are devotees have non-devoted children, so there's no guarantee of anything anymore. Yeah, in the old days it was easier, but these days it's more difficult. Okay, we'll read the next paragraph. Jai Jagannath Prabhu, you want to read the next paragraph? Paragraph 2.
One feature of the Supreme Personality of God is Lord Ramachandra, is omnipotent. The Lord can act without regard to material contentment for inconveniency. But the proof that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and was thus merely advertised as Godhead by Nishti by talking to both, he constructed a wonderful bridge over the ocean. Nowadays it has become practical to create an artist of God who performs no uncommon activities. A little magic will deliver a foolish person if he's lifting an artificial God, because he does not understand how powerful God is. Lord Ramachandra, however, constructed a bridge from the stone, by making the stone float. This is proof of God's uncommonly wonderful power. Why should someone be accepted as God without displaying extraordinary potency by doing something meant to be done by any common man? say Lord Ramachandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he gets stuck in the spirit. And we accept Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he does this. Lord Ramachandra, we have only said we have always. We should not accept any rational of God or information of God, for God is plain. This teaches in his various activities. This one Lord himself says in Bhagavad Gita. One who knows the transcendent nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again with the pure Lord. That is my eternal abode, O Arjuna. The activities of the Lord are not common, they are all transcendently wonderful and not able to be performed by any other human being. Symptoms of the Lord's activities all mentioned in the Sanskrit, and after one understands them, one can accept the Lord as he is.
What are the points here? Krishna is omnipotent. The Lord is omnipotent. He is supreme. So one of the reasons he's displaying these pastimes is to show his supremacy. You know, that he is the Supreme Personality of God. That no one else can do these things. Even scientifically, we've seen many times on the internet that they're showing that there is a bridge going from Lanka to India, Cape Comorin. So we can see there's a bridge. It's verified by satellite that there is some sort of bridge which was there, which is sunk into the ocean. Many of these things, Stephen Reader Swami points out in his book, In Search of Vedic India, he points out many places. The river Saraswati, the archaeological findings in Pakistan of ancient civilizations, and these things. So many of these things verify, and in itself in Dwarka, it comes up on the internet all the time. In Dwarka, they find the ruins, the columns in the ocean, the Bay of Dwarka. So there are many, many indications that many of these things were true. So why does the Lord do these super excellent pastimes? To show his supremacy. And people say, well, I don't believe it, I did not see anything. But even there is substantial evidence, archaeological evidence, that many of these things may have been true. So for us, we don't need archaeological evidence, but it does support what we're saying. But because we have Shraddha, or faith, where does faith come from? Faith comes from Agyata Sukriti. Shraddha is born from Bhakti, or Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti, is explained in Harinam Chintamani. That when you perform devotional service, you develop Shraddha, that is the natural result of performing Bhakti. So we're performing service to Krishna, we develop faith that the Lord is supreme. And he's showing these pastimes to show his supremacy. That he is not an ordinary living entity. So we see all these extraordinary pastimes. You read through the Ramayana, you read through the Bhagavatam, and then finally we're going to the 10th canto, hopefully next year. Then we will see the Lord's supreme pastimes. Why is he showing these things to us? Because he wants us to understand that he is the most powerful living entity. He is God himself. But in Vrindavan, as we'll see in the 10th canto, his Aishwarya is covered by Madhurya, or sweetness. So even though he is the most powerful living entity, then he just wants to be covered by sweetness so he can have ordinary pastimes. So even Lord Ramachandra, his pastimes are Mayada, which means they're like human-like pastimes. But actually, he's showing us, even though I'm showing human-like pastimes, I have a father and a mother. I have a wife, I have children, but still I am the supreme living entity.
So the Bhagavad Gita is cleansing our vision. Gyananjana shalakaya. Chakshuran milita means our eyes are being cleansed so that we can see the Lord in his original position as the Supreme Personality, all powerful, omnipotent. What is it? The stones that float in Rameshwaram. You have to go to South India. You've seen it? Have you seen?
Yes.
You have seen?
Yes, two and four. Remember that mission.
And you saw it?
73.
You saw it? Did you see it floating? Did you see it?
Yeah, I touched.
And what happened?
It was very heavy, but still it was floating.
Really?
The name Ram.
It's very heavy, but it floats. I went down to Rameshwaram. You saw the stone? Can you see it? You saw it? Now you're convinced? Any other points? Yeah, those who are there with him and those who will come in the future also. Okay. Shukadeva Goswami said, after constructing a bridge over the ocean by throwing into the water the peaks of mountains whose trees and other vegetation had been shaken by the hands of great monkeys, Lord Ramachandra went to Lanka to release Sita Devi from the clutches of Ravana. With the direction and help of Vibhishana, Ravana's brother, the Lord, along with the monkey soldiers headed by Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, entered Ravana's kingdom, Lanka, which had previously been burnt by Hanuman. Here we go, Prabhu.
Great mountain peaks covered with the trees, sometimes are thrown into the sea by the ancient hundreds, and began to grow by the Supreme Will of the Lord. But the Supreme Will of the Lord, very great planets grown very lightly in his place, like stars of cotton. If this is possible, why should great mountain peaks not be able to float on water? This is only for the purpose of the Supreme Will of the Lord. He can do anything and everything he does, because he is not under the control of material nature. Indeed, every nature is controlled by him. I have the care of the surrender and surrender. Only under his direction does property or material nature work. Simple consideration is given to those sons.
Yeah, it's a very good book by Drudhikama Prabhu. Came out a few years ago called Forbidden Archaeology. So these books prove that these theories are debatable. They cannot say, even Darwin himself does not say it's a fact. He doesn't say that. Yeah, so go to my appointment there and send your kids to that school. And yeah, no, it's not easy. It's not easy to do there, and if you stay here, it's not easy. Kids will be okay. My daughter's, you know, she goes to school and she's going to high school soon, so that's part of it. You just got to educate them at home. Not impossible, huh?
Not impossible.
But it's up to the child. A child's an individual. He's a person, so it's up to his evolution of consciousness. How much, you know, I mean, if the child's intelligent, he'll see through it. If the child's not intelligent, then yeah, it's all challenging. The answer is go back to the spiritual, then you don't have to have any kids. And I mean, you talk to everyone here, they're just talking about their kids all the time. You know, oh, my kid's got this problem again. So just go back to the spiritual and then don't worry about the whole thing. Anything else? What about Uluru? There's rock. There's one rock in the middle of Australia just sitting there by itself. Where did that come from? This is what I want to know. This is what I want to know. Why there's one rock there by itself. Very good. Any other points? So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, all this is happening just by a spark of his splendor. So Krishna is maintaining this whole universe just by a spark of his splendor. So actually to build a bridge across the ocean, or to throw the mountain tops, or to gather a monkey army, or, you know, all of these pastimes, they're actually nothing for the Lord. He doesn't need even to do all these things. He just does them for Leela. Because for us it's impressive, it sounds exciting. But actually to him, he's so powerful, he doesn't need to do any of this. But he just performs all to perform some Leela, so we will be captivated. You know? Because everyone, all devotees, they like to hear the Ramayana. They like to hear Mahabharata. So the Lord makes it all epic. He makes an epic adventure just to capture our consciousness. But actually to him, this is nothing. Just because he made, you know, one bridge out of rocks float across there, it's nothing for him. He says in Gita, all of this is just a spark. This whole material creation is just a spark of his splendor. That is how powerful Krishna is. He's unlimited. So for him, this is nothing. You know, the non-devotees say, how can he put a bridge across the ocean? Even the devotees, they may think, how can he put a bridge across the ocean? But it's nothing, actually. What is the
you know, this whole planet's floating in outer space. His universe is coming out of his pores. So what is just a little bridge across the ocean? It's not so much. Any points? Says anyway.
Yeah,
I believe. It's a Hubble. It's a Hubble telescope. So it must be correct. And if you have the Hubble telescope, you can see them. After entering Lanka, the monkey soldiers led by chiefs like Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman occupied all the sporting houses, granaries, treasuries, palace doorways, city gates, assembly houses, palace frontages, and even the resting houses of the pigeons. When the city's crossroads, platforms, flags, and golden water pots on its domes were all destroyed, the entire city of Lanka appeared like a river, disturbed by a herd of elephants. When Ravana, the master of the Rakshasas, saw the disturbances created by the monkey soldiers, he called for Nikumba, Kumba, Dumraksha, Dumuka, Surantaka, Narantaka, and other Rakshasas, and also his son Indrajit. Thereafter, he called for Prahasta, Atikaya, Vikampana, and finally Kumbhakarna. Then he induced all his followers to fight against the enemies. Lord Ramachandra, surrounded by Lakshman and monkey soldiers like Sugriva, Hanuman, Gandamada, Nila, Angada, Jambavan, and Panas, attacked the soldiers of the Rakshasas, who were fully equipped with various invincible weapons like swords, lances, bows, prasas, rishtis, shakti arrows, gadgas, and Tomarus. Angada and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramachandra faced the elephants, infantry, horses, and chariots of the enemy and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs, and arrows. Thus the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana's soldiers, who had lost all good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. Sri Chaitanya Prabhu.
All these Lord Ramchandra entities in general were all monkeys who did not have proper equipment with which to fight the soldiers of Ravana. So Ravana's soldiers were equipped with presents of morning water, whereas the monkeys could only throw stones, mountains, trees, and trees. It was only Lord Ramchandra and Lakshman who shot some arrows. But because the soldiers of Ravana were condemned by the curse of Narasimha, the monkeys were able to kill them simply by throwing stones and trees. There are two kinds of strength, Deva and Purusha Kula. Deva refers to the strength achieved from the transcendence, and Purusha Kula refers to the strength organized by one's own intelligence and power. Transcendental power is always superior to the power of material. Depending on the mercy of the Supreme Lord, one must fight one's enemies, even though one may not be equipped with modern weapons. Therefore, Krishna instructed Arjuna, Mamus Anusmara Vidyasya, think of me and fight. We should fight our enemy to the best of our ability. But for victory, we must depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of God.
What is Prabhupada sharing here?
So you just rely on Krishna. Do your best and then leave the rest to Krishna. So a devotee, he just endeavors to the best of his ability. He endeavors like it depends on him, and he prays like it depends on Krishna. So that is the formula of success for a devotee. When we try to do our service, we do it like it depends on us. So we put our full effort and consciousness into our service. Prabhupada said, first be conscious, then be Krishna conscious. So you have to do your service consciously to the best of your ability. But then you rely on Krishna for the result, right? Because the result is ultimately up to Krishna. So the monkeys, they could not win. Just like Kurukshetra was the same. When the battle began, there was 11 Akshahinis to 7. So the Pandavas army was quite a bit smaller. Like the Kauravas army was 2/3 bigger. And they had some formidable warriors, you know, Bhishma, Drona, Karna. You know, technically, the Pandavas could not win, technically. Because they had full faith in Krishna. Now, they relied on Krishna, and they fought to the best of their ability, and then Krishna made sure they won the battle. So also here, I mean, you have a bunch of monkeys versus Rakshasas. Normally, you cannot win. But they won because they relied on Krishna, they put full endeavor there, and then Lord Ramachandra protected everyone. So Krishna says at the end of the Gita, victory, morality, extraordinary power, and opulence will always be there wherever Krishna is present. So we just try our best, and then everything auspicious will come. Any points? Thereafter, when Ravana, the king of the Rakshasas, observed that his soldiers had been lost, he was extremely angry. Thus he mounted his aeroplane, which was decorated with flowers, and proceeded towards Lord Ramachandra, who sat on the effulgent chariot brought by Matali, the chariot driver of Indra. Then Ravana struck Lord Ramachandra with sharp arrows. Lord Ramachandra said to Ravana, "You are the most abominable of the man-eaters. Indeed, you are like their stool. You resemble a dog, for as a dog steals edibles from the kitchen in the absence of the householder, in my absence you kidnap my wife, Sita Devi. Therefore, as Yamaraj punishes sinful men, I shall also punish you. You are most abominable, sinful and shameless. Today, therefore, I, whose attempt never fails, shall punish you." After thus rebuking Ravana, Lord Ramachandra fixed an arrow to his bow aimed at Ravana and released the arrow, which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, "Alas, alas, what has happened? What has happened?" As Ravana, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his aeroplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets, when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. So what is the lesson that we learn from the Bhagavatam? The Bhagavatam has negative lessons and positive lessons. It has the lessons of devotees and lessons from non-devotees. So what did Ravana do? What was his demise? He took Lakshmi, or Sita, away from Ram. So in the same way, Prabhupada explains, if we misuse Lakshmi, or that which is given to us by Krishna to be used in his service, then we will get reactions. Prabhupada said that not one farthing, or not one cent, should be misused in Krishna's service. Everything that we are given should be used in Krishna's service. All our wealth. So, because Ravana, he took Sita Devi, Lakshmi, and he misused, he used it away, or did not use it in the service of Ram, then he suffered, ultimately. And then Prabhupada said, why ultimately did Ravana fall down? Because he committed an offense. So if you commit aparad, it diminishes all of your good fortune. So ultimately, Ravana offended the Supreme Lord himself, and he was finished. So we have to be very careful of offenses to the deities, to the devotees, to the living entities, and to the holy name. And if we do not commit offenses, then we advance in Krishna consciousness. And if we commit offenses, then everything becomes very difficult. Any other points? Srila Prabhupada?